The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yes! Go Cowboys!
This is Talkin' Cowboys. Streaming live from the Dallas Cowboys World Headquarters at the Star in Frisco.
Handoff, Elliott plowing to the goal line. Barry, sacked by Lord. Prescott keeps it, and he bangs it into the touchdown.
And now, your hosts, Isaiah Standback, Patrick Walker, and Kyle Yeomans.
It is a terrific Talking Tuesday here on Talking Cowboys, presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company, the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys. And we are live from the SWBC studios at the Star in Frisco, breaking down again the Cowboys' 54-19 win over the Indianapolis Colts in week number 13. And today we start to turn the page a little bit. Maybe not fully turned a page, but we're peeking ahead a little bit to the next couple games. We've got the Texans coming up on Sunday, and then a trip to Jacksonville for the first time in quite some time. So we welcome you in. Patrick Nosey Walker. We've got Isaiah Standback. I'm Kyle Yeomans, as always. Chris Bean running the ship in the back. How we doing, everybody?
Swell.
Fantastic.
Swell. Nothing crazy here, man. 54-19. That's about it.
Mm. Yeah. Has it settled in yet just how big of a beatdown that was in the fourth quarter? Most fourth quarter unanswered points in Cowboys franchise history, and the second most in NFL history behind the Lions, who did it back in 2006 with 34 points. So nearly an NFL record. If you wouldn't have gone for two and you would have kicked the PAT that ended up being blocked, you would have had an NFL record. That was how dominant that fourth quarter was.
That was a Mortal Kombat fatality. Is basically what that was. That was absolute just brutality by the Dallas Cowboys, and you love to see it.
Did you have yourself a Ferrito? Did you have yourself
a
Ferrito?
I did not have a Ferrito.
Why did you not have a Ferrito?
Okay, so you're calling it a Ferrito instead of a 50 burger.
That's right.
It's a Ferrito. A lot of people are calling it 50 brisket because Dallas tenderized Indianapolis enough to where it just fell apart in its own.
I like 50. I like 50 brisket.
40 burger, 50 brisket.
I like 50 brisket.
So what's 60? Ooh,
because I could have.
Maybe that's
they could have had 60.
I don't know. That kind of that would be weird to work into a Ferrito or a burrito or whatever.
I don't know. It's kind of like AT&T Stadium's like the tortilla. And everything inside of it was just a mess.
So it's a burrito.
It's a Ferrito.
A 50 Rito.
Yeah.
How about that? Okay. Okay. Good to know. By the way, we've got some updates on the nickname competition coming up in a little bit because Isaiah's original nickname, the Goons.
Got altered.
It's altered a little bit. What is it now?
It's Goon Squad.
That's officially the change. It's the Goon Squad.
Goon Squad, like Toon Squad. You remember how they all back to back and he had all the Monstars and all that?
Mm-hmm.
It's the Goon Squad.
It's the Goon Squad. We've got Boomsday Defense, got the Legion of Boom, or Legion of Doom, excuse me. And then the Lions
Den. See how confusing that was?
Yeah, it is. It is. Well, when you put them back to back, once we decide on one, it's not confusing. Once we put them back to back, it's tough. But all right, let's do some news and notes because there's actually a lot to get to for a Monday. Most of it is coming from the paparazzi of what is the Dallas media and what has happened over the last couple of days following this Odell Beckham saga and what it has turned into. He is in Dallas. He has been in Dallas. He's been around the facility. He was at the Mavs game last night with Trayvon Diggs and Micah Parsons. But, Patrick, news and notes, it's got to start with OBJ, right?
It's going to leap off with OBJ. Jerry Jones spoke on 105.3 from the Fan this morning, his weekly Tuesday morning address, and he basically confirmed that this is going to be a two-day meeting. The Cowboys and Odell Beckham will have part two, so the sequel is going to be today. There's a lot of, you know, meeting with the Jones family for Odell Beckham on yesterday, a lot of talking of medicals and business before they took him out on a little bachelorette date situation to the Mavs versus the Suns. And as you stated, Kyle, he was out there with Micah Parsons, Trayvon Diggs, and they looked like they were having a grand old time. Maybe not necessarily for Odell because he's a good friend of Devin Booker, and Luka did what Luka did and said, y'all figure out what y'all got to do, but I got a job to do out here. But here we are, day two, and we'll see where it goes because, you know, you look at what Jerry Jones was saying this morning. And he continues to reiterate there are a lot of variables, and he continues to circle that medical part. And we'll see if they can come to terms on that. But based on my gut and just some conversations that I've been having. So obviously for those that may or may not be aware, no one on this panel has access to Odell's medical records. Like, we just don't.
Nope.
Okay. But that said, we are on record saying that that's a concern for us, rightfully so. 30-year-old second torn ACL, or re-tear, as a matter of fact. And then this re-tear revealed that there were issues with the initial repair that needed to be corrected, et cetera, et cetera. These are all things that the Cowboys are having to look over. Same as with the Giants, same as with the Bills. So the question of will Odell Beckham be available and in a time frame that allows him to hit top gear mm-hmm. by the time the Cowboys need it most, that remains the question. But now we're left to wonder, is this a 2023 conversation for Odell Beckham Jr. now? Because we're no longer having this talk in mid-November, early November. We're now approaching mid-December, and it doesn't sound like there's a ton of confidence right now.
As it How relates to anticlimactic would that be, though? This whole conversation has started from months and months and months ago, and now we've built up to this point, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, maybe he's not as healthy as we anticipated, which was always a concern, like you said.
Correct.
However, it was never a forefront concern. Are you telling me now it's a forefront concern?
It's a forefront concern.
Oh.
It's a forefront concern. When you hear Jerry Jones use the A word, availability, like he did this morning, that tells you that, and again, we don't have access to the medical records, but reading the tea leaves, that tells you that there's some uncertainty when it comes to the medical part of it. Now, does that mean that Odell Beckham is not 100% healthy? That's not necessarily what it means. It could mean that he's close or... Is he close or is he's close, but maybe it'll take him longer than anticipated? I think all of that's on the table for conversation here at the Building and the Star today when Odell returns.
I hate the fact that I always defer injury talk to Isaiah Stanback because you went through it before and you've had every injury in the book.
Yeah.
However, when you're a player looking to go to a team, and Odell Beckham's a little different because he's got that elite status to him. However, how nerve-wracking is it whenever you are going through that medical process? Because you do it in the draft. Every team looks at you. Everybody that's interested in you is going to get your medicals.
Yeah.
When you're a free agent, how is that different? Because teams are going to do their due diligence. The Cowboys, Britt Brown, Jim, Dr. Cooper, everybody is giving him a glance over.
It really, it really varies from team to team, which is kind of weird. You would think all medicals is –
The same,
but it's not. Every team perceives it, each case differently. That's why you have your own team of doctors. That's why you have your own trainers. You know, you have Britt Brown, so maybe they're a lot more confident in their ability to rehab somebody versus other teams. So,
and they should be.
It really varies on a one-off basis. At this point, man, if he gets signed, I mean, we're talking about four games left. Mm-hmm. And we have five right now, including this week, but I don't see it.
I'm glad you put out that number, because on the drive in, I'm listening to Jerry, and then once Jerry was done talking, I was still sitting in traffic. I had a minute to kind of marinate on the whole situation, rotisserize, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking that what if it's a scenario where the conversation turns slightly from, okay, can you get here and we get you, you know, on the field in December, to, okay, you could still be a major additive for a potential playoff run. Maybe we get you here and then we IR you so that you're not taking up the roster spot. Four games left, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That puts him ready to drop into the mix in January.
Playoff time.
Wild card weekend, if the Cowboys play on wild card weekend, because obviously they still have a shot at the number one seed. And even better if they can chase down Philadelphia and get the number one seed, because then they get a bye.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's a scenario that could be in discussion as well. And, I mean, it's an option is what I'm saying. It's an option. But, again, it's all coming down to the medicals. And I know a lot of people are going to say, well, you know, it's the Cowboys and it might be coming down to money. I don't think it's coming down to money. I think it's pretty clear that Jerry Jones is willing to step outside of whatever the comfort box might be salary cap wise to get this guy, because this is the guy that Jerry Jones wants. That Jerry Jones wants this guy. It's the health. Yeah. And you can tell there's something there, whatever it might be, that's giving Jerry Jones a little bit of pause. And maybe it's not a hard no. Well, clearly it's not a hard no, because if it was a hard no, guess what? It wouldn't be a part two.
Wouldn't even be a conversation.
It wouldn't be a part two. The money is tied to the health?
I think it could be in the aspect of how maybe how you're structuring it, incentives versus guaranteed money. Because if we're talking, okay, let's agree, hypothetically speaking, if I'm Jerry Jones and I'm talking to Odell Beckham Jr. and I'm saying, hey, you know what? We thought you'd be healthier by now, ready to go by now so you can start ramping up. And the conversation is, well, no, you cannot. Okay, let's assume that we bring you in, sign you, because you got to sign to the active roster for a couple days. We free back up that seat, put you on IR so you're done for the regular season, et cetera, et cetera. Well, now I'm not guaranteeing you a lot of money because I'm not getting any regular season games. I'm now playing you for the playoffs. So I'm paying you for the playoffs. So now incentive laden, right? And then you have to structure 2023 that way as well, because guess what? He came in so late in 2022 that you're going to need to see him in training camp. It's a very robust, layered conversation that's happening, and that's why this is taking 2 days instead of one. But for those that do want to lean on the side of optimism, this is not devoid of hope, because, again, if it was a hard no, the hard no happens yesterday.
Sure.
So Odell is coming back to the table today, which means he is highly interested. The Cowboys are coming back to the table, which means they are highly interested. It's just a matter of how the conversation goes today, but there are obviously some concerns there.
I think, like you said, Odell, there's interest there, but he has the leverage. His leverage is waning at the moment.
Yes, it is.
Because the deeper you get into the season, the more the money changes. Because like you said, it's tied to it, whether or not it's fair, but it is. And I think it's very fair.
It's fair.
Because let's say one year, $1 million, right? Like that's just a hypothetical number. Yeah, I have no idea what this would even look at.
It's veteran minimum.
Yeah, 1 year, $1 million. And if that's the case, he gets put on IR, and then he's there for the playoff game. And let's say you either win or lose the playoff game, you're still paying him $1 million to just go and be on the roster for one or two or three or four games. I mean, that's it. That's all you're paying him. Minimum, you go and you win the Super Bowl, which at that point it's worth it. But you're still four games, if he's only playing in the playoffs, would be $250,000 a game. Yep. I mean,
It's the risk like reward model. It's risk reward.
Am I
the only one that thinks that there's going to be an outside team that comes in?
I think so.
No, remember I told you, there's a dark horse somewhere. Yeah, there's always a dark horse.
Yeah, I have an idea of where I think he.
Where do you think? Say it with your chest.
Where he got pulled off the plane.
Oh, you mean
Miami?
My initial dark horse?
Where he was
the
down.
The dark horse that
he
I've
was down
been,
there with the heat?
I've been pounding that drum. I've said it for weeks now. I said it when, you know, the Dolphins were in anybody's conversation. I said, keep an eye on that situation. Mm-hmm. It's South Beach. It's Miami. You know, this past weekend, notwithstanding their this past weekend, notwithstanding their winning games.
What are you doing down there?
It's Miami. I do believe there's a dark horse, and
I also think that you have to take consideration offensive coordinators.
Yeah,
you have to take into account the offensive coordinators and what. Does the team do really well? What situation you're going into. Dallas Cowboys are a run-first team. Yes, they pass the ball, but they're a run-first team. Mm-hmm. And they don't necessarily have the offense that would utilize him the way in which he probably wants to be utilized.
Yeah.
You think about offensive coordinators that are super creative, Andy Reid in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. He's going to find ways to get everybody the ball.
Sure.
Okay? You think about freaking McDaniels down there in Miami. He's freaking guru in terms of getting guys the ball, right? He has two goons down there already.
Not Cedric Wilson.
Yeah. But Odell Beckham, Cedric Wilson, I mean, we're having a different conversation.
You're talking about Waddle and Hill right now. I'm back home for top 10 in the league.
I get it. Sure, I get it, because I'm the one that's in the back.
No, I get it. I know
Jeff Wilson.
I think about it from that perspective. If I am going to try to come back from, you know, two ACLs, and I do still want to have some of the limelight, and I still want to make an impact, who can put me in position to make plays?
You're making such a good point. I'm losing my words at the moment, because you're looking at the performance offensively from the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football against the Indianapolis Colts. 54 points, check. Wow, they went crazy. That was awesome. Mm-hmm. Put up a ton of points lately. Okay, they ran the football pretty well. You know, 200 yards rushing. Yeah, that's great. Oh, they only threw
30 times, and it was only for 170 yards. And as Odell Beckham Jr., you're looking at that and saying, okay, they play their best football when they're running the football. So where do I fit in as a key piece of this offense? If he really does care about that, which I think he does, he wants to be a key part of a contender. If he cares about that, keep that in mind. Because if they're throwing the football 30 times and you're only throwing it for 170, that's not necessarily going to entice a wide receiver to come in and take a bigger chunk of this offense.
And I will say, and very valid point, and again, I can't stress enough, I believe Miami is the, not a, but the dark horse. I said this, you know, a month ago and then the week thereafter. That said, I will also say that if you're Odell Beckham Jr., you're in a situation where you know your medical's better than anyone that you're talking to right now. So you know that you're coming off of a second torn ACL, and as such, you should be wary of having a ton of targets from the outset. So if you were to go to a McDaniel-led offense, for example, hypothetically speaking, then you're number three, but you're number three in a very pass-heavy offense. So as a wide receiver, by default, you're thinking, oh, I love this. I'm going to get the ball. But when you consider that you need a moment, you need a moment. Are you going to be able to put your best foot forward initially in that Dolphins offense, or are you going to stumble out the gate and all of a sudden it's, oh, this is a bad deal, they should have never touched Beckham, et cetera, et cetera. Now you put yourself, risk-reward, you put yourself in a position where your brand might be damaged going into the offseason that you probably need to be your final, your last hurrah as far as getting a bag is concerned at the NFL level, a big bag anyway. So when you look at it from a Cowboys perspective, and with that argument, you kind of have to love the fact that, number one, you have an elite quarterback in Dak Prescott. You don't have to be the one or two guy. The tight end group is going to help as well in the passing game. You have one of the best running back tandems in the game.
Yeah.
So that will make it difficult for opposing defenses to scheme for you. So, yes, today might not be your day to have five targets.
Yeah.
But next week might be your day to have seven.
It just depends on how much of a piece of the pie he wants.
Right.
How much does he want from a piece of a pie standpoint to make sure he's, I guess, targeted, he's a part of it. And if that piece of the pie is smaller, but he's still winning, I'm sure he doesn't care.
You know what I think, Cal and Isaiah? I think that it's clear he wants to sign the Cowboys. I think the Cowboys are the front runner, flat out.
Oh, yeah.
And if this deal doesn't get done, then whomever he signs with is the contingency plan, is the plan that he already has in the back of his head to his agent to say, you know what, if we can't get this Cowboys thing worked out for whatever reason, you call Team Y and you tell them, let's get it done. Yeah, you call Team Y, you tell them, let's get it done.
Team M.
Team M.
Team M. You tell them, let's get it done.
Miami, with M-I or M-Y.
M-I-A, 305. But it's clear that the Cowboys and Odell want to get this worked out.
Yep,
I am just exceedingly interested in seeing if they can get it worked out, what it would look like, because I'm starting to feel more and more like it's dropping him in the mix in the playoffs and not in the regular season now. Which then, of course, that creates another question mark, which, you know, chemistry.
Each week goes by,
chemistry, not locker room chemistry,
on field chemistry. The more time that goes by, the more that is going to become prevalent in this conversation. Yes. The health, the chemistry, the fit, all of that stuff starts getting into a tighter window as we get deeper on. All right, we're taking your calls today here on Talking Tuesday, 888-855-2297. Give us a call. We'll answer it from Cowboys Nation when we come back with more Talking Cowboys.
When you build, you start with the foundation. And home ownership is a foundation of a stable future. The Bank of America Community Home Ownership Commitment has helped over 34,000 people lay the groundwork so far, with up to $10,000 towards your down payment or 3% of the purchase price, whichever is less. The satisfaction of owning your own place can become a reality. Visit bankofamerica.com/homeowner to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, Equal Housing Lender. Credit and collateral is subject to approval. Restrictions apply. This is not a commitment to lend.
This week! Did you get to work on time?
Yeah, but I just realized it's Sunday.
Lil' Sweet says head on home. Dr. Pepper's on its way. So sweet, unique. Baby, there's nothing better. I bet you've probably done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
Did you invest? cast your nest egg in an NFT.
Yeah, and I don't even know what that is.
It's a non-fungible token.
Everyone's on something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Are you ready to take coffee off your grocery list forever? Black Rifle Coffee Club is here to help. As a coffee club member, you'll get your favorite coffees roasted, packaged, and shipped to your door free of charge on your preferred schedule. Set it, forget it, and never run low on coffee again. Members also get exclusive deals on coffee, products, and discounts from partner brands. Ease your mind and let Black Rifle worry about your coffee supply. Go to blackriflecoffee.com to join the coffee club today.
Back to Talkin' Cowboys.
Get your holiday photo with Santa at the Star, presented by Monument Realty. Santa Claus will be at his Cowboys-themed cottage in the Star District across from Ascension Coffee through December 24th. Visit thestardistrict.com/Santa for more info.
You think that Ascension Coffee has Black Rifle Coffee?
They better. I think they better. If they haven't had that conversation yet, they need to.
Doggone right.
I'm drinking my Flying Elk this morning. I've had a long day.
Deer antler.
Really quickly, fellas, since we were on News and Notes, but Odell dominated that.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of who we know is going to join the team.
Who is that?
Who's that?
There's this.
T.S.?
There's this guy named Teron Smith.
Oh, T.S.
Big 7'7".
77.
We'll see his 21-day practice window activated on tomorrow.
Bingo.
Latino. On tomorrow.
Yeah.
He'll be back. And the Cowboys said, well, Jerry Jones specifically said, just because they got 21 days, don't expect this to be a situation where you've seen with some of the others where they take the 21 days and play the roster game. Teron Smith has a very real chance for getting on the field against the Texans, which I'm completely fine with, because you let him use the Texans and the Jaguars to sharpen himself back up for the game on Christmas Eve against that team in Eastern Pennsylvania.
That game's going to be crazy.
Yeah. So Teron Smith,
yeah,
back on the practice field officially for the Cowboys, effective tomorrow on Wednesday. Big. Now, that's the equivalent of dropping a future Hall of Fame left tackle as if he were a free agent. Just drop him right into the playoff run.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Oh, yeah.
Just like an all-pro, left tackle.
So the question is, and we touched on it, who's
where do you go
who's
from
your
there?
Five? Who's your five? Who's your five, Isaiah?
McGovern stays.
He stays?
He stays.
Kyle, who you got?
Tyler is your swing tackle?
He's just my
backup. Or just your backup?
Just my backup.
I don't know, man. I really don't. Yesterday, I would have said Connor McGovern. Today, I'm thinking Smith.
You've gotten more out of him than you could have ever imagined.
McGovern?
No, not even just McGovern. I'm talking about Tyler Smith. You've gotten more out of him than you could have ever imagined. You put him. Yeah, he's just getting started, but you didn't anticipate him playing this year.
Facts. But now
you anticipated
it.
Him playing guard, but he didn't win that spot outright.
Yeah, he didn't win that. So he wasn't doing well at the position. Okay, so that's just the reality.
Yeah.
He did not do well enough at that position to win the job. McGovern did. And McGovern has continued to play well. So guess what? McGovern should continue to play well at the guard position that he won.
That's
shouldn't lose it just because
of
the guy.
I also say this, and obviously two different positions, but one of them didn't have any NFL experience whatsoever going into that competition.
Totally get it.
And now that's different.
That's a good point.
Tyler now knows what NFL speed looks like.
Totally right.
Here's the thing. You also can make this decision. And it's not final. You don't have to stick with him the rest of the year. You can make a sub.
As long as you figure it out before the playoffs. As long as you figure out the five, and that's your five going.
Or maybe before that 24th game.
What would be the thing that you would ask McGovern to be better at right now? If we can't answer that question right off the bat, then we don't need to touch him.
Yeah.
We don't need to touch him. If there's nothing that we can just say, oh, he needs it.
No, there's a reason you don't hear his name called.
He's doing a great job. Leave him.
Yeah, there's a reason you don't see his name called.
It's a conversation that, like I said yesterday, is going to continue everywhere through. Even after Tyron Smith makes his return and we see what they were thinking in terms of the left guard spot, it's going to be a conversation.
Yeah,
because we'll continue on forward. Yeah.
We brought it up briefly yesterday. You just don't want to move two pieces. I'd rather move one. I'd rather McGovern need to get back used to working with Tyron versus have to Tyler Smith have to get used to working with Tyron. You know what I'm saying? Like Tyron and Tyler learning how to be back on the field and learn how to be a guard. Like, it's too much.
I can see the thought process though of saying, okay, well, ask yourself, what would your most glaring opportunity for improvement for Tyler Smith be? And you're probably going to say penalties. And if you're going to say penalties, which would be accurate, then the question becomes, if you put him in the phone booth, you might reduce the number of holding penalties he commits because he's not dealing with the speed rushers off of the outside. He's dealing more so with the big bodies.
But that was
our original thought. The big body strength, which is why they put him at guard in training camp in the first place. So I'm just saying there's some merit to the argument that says, well, you know what?
He's had 10 penalties this year, by the way, but only two in the last three games.
Yeah. I would not be on the bandwagon. No disrespect to Tyler. He's done an amazing job, and he is your future left tackle.
And no disrespect to Connor McGovern.
Yeah,
good problem to have. It just needs to be figured out before you get to the playoffs. And like Kyle said, ideally before you get to Christmas Eve.
Yep. All right, let's go to Sean in Hot Springs, Arkansas. One, I love Hot Springs, Arkansas, one of my favorite little under-the-radar cities. But, Sean, you're on Talking Cowboys. How's it going?
Oh, it's going good. How y'all doing today, guys?
Doing great, Sean.
Well, I must say, 54-19. How about them Cowboys?
How about it? What's on your mind?
So, we're sitting here. I was going to talk about OBJ, but now y'all are back on the offensive line, and I thought about this yesterday.
Yep.
Would it even be possible or even be smart to see a little bit of Tyler Smith maybe over there at right tackle? So I know still he's good. He's great. And he come into a tough spot, and he is handling it well. But quietly, there's a lot of pressure I see that comes from his side, which I'm no coach, nothing like that. But is there any possible way that you think we might see Smith working at the right side as well? Because McGovern has earned that spot at guard, and he did beat Smith out in the preseason.
Yes, he did. Appreciate your call, Sean. Thanks for calling in to Talking Cowboys. I was thinking about asking this question while we were in the middle of that conversation, but I wanted to get the phone call, so Sean's just doing my job for me. Thank goodness.
You in the belly button.
You would punch me in the belly button if I asked about Terrence Steele.
I'd poke you in the belly button. Okay. Listen up. I appreciate your question, and I have not been to Hot Springs, Arkansas, so I'm going to make that trip one day.
Awesome.
Sounds fantastic.
More along the lines of what we were just talking about. I mentioned it yesterday, and Kyle backed it up with some other analytics. This is the number one offensive line in terms of protecting the quarterback from hitting the dog on the ground.
Say it again.
The number one in the league. Now, they're not throwing the ball a ton, but so what? It is what it is. But when they throw it, these guys aren't letting Dak hit the ground getting sacked. All right, number one. Number two, they were, prior to the game, number four in the league in terms of rushing offenses, in terms of touchdowns scored on the ground. Now, I think you said they're three or two, something like that, Kyle, somewhere around there. Okay, so they're top five in the league regardless. You don't start moving pieces just because a guy is talented. Mm-hmm. You don't shuffle the freaking deck. We've seen shuffling of this deck way too much when we did not have the resources that are now in place.
2020.
Yes, all right. And now all of a sudden, now there's actual guys who play just certain positions and are really good at it, and now people want to move guys around? No. Learn from the past. Guys are doing well. Let them continue to do well. You really can't hope for much better. You're top four in the league in both of these categories. Touchdowns on the ground and keeping your quarterback from hitting the ground. Why move around a bunch of guys? Move your freaking Hall of Famer back to his position and leave everybody else alone.
So just to back up your point, I do have some more analytics for you. Okay. And you're not a stats guy. You're more of an eye test guy.
Give us the science.
I like to give the stats. These are the science.
How about this?
Tyler Smith, your rookie, 25 pressures so far allowed this season. However, like I said, he gave up 7 in one game against the Giants. None of those were sacks. They were all pressures. But he has not given up a single one outside of that Giants game in each of the last three games. So none on Sunday night against Indianapolis, and 0 against Minnesota in that blowout win as well. So there's your 25 pressures. He's allowed 4 sacks this season. Sounds decent for a rookie, right? Mm-hmm. Played a lot at left tackle. He's been thrusted into the fire. Terrence Steele on the opposite side has only allowed 18 pressures all season. There's only been one game, and it was week 6 against Philadelphia, where he's given up more than 2 pressures in a single game all year long.
It's more than funny 2. You say that.
Let me continue real quick. I got a couple more with you. He's only allowed one sack, and it was in the Detroit Lions game. That's the only sack he's allowed. So one sack versus four, Terrence Steele, checkmark. 25 pressures versus 18, Terrence Steele, checkmark. He's been better statistically, analytically. The eye test wasn't great yesterday, and there are times when the eye test isn't great, but he's getting the job done, and he's keeping Dak Prescott on his feet, and that's what matters.
I love it because you basically proved my point before I made my point. The point that I was going to make was specifically that Terrence Steele has been better at right tackle than Tyler Smith has been at left tackle. And in saying that, you don't now move that left tackle over to right tackle. It just no.
But you're still wanting to move him to guard, though. I'm fine with that. Just because of the strength and what you could do inside.
I'm completely fine with that because, like I said, and again, shouts out to Connor McGovern. We give Connor a lot of love. On this here wonderful number one podcast on the Cowboys Network. That said, I feel like Tyler Smith, now that he has several NFL games under his belt, he knows the NFL speed, he knows the NFL strength, and he has the strength to compete with that. You might see those penalties start to, and they've already started to decline, but you might see them almost completely disappear, particularly the holding ones, once you put him inside against the bigger guys. Right. So, you know, the DeForest Buckners of the world and the like. So I'm just willing to let's meet in the middle here. I'm willing to find out over the next two games.
No.
No. Can we at least this is like, can we test drive it?
Has anybody
no.
ever
can
had,
we test drive it?
Has anybody ever had like a component box?
Yeah.
Okay, you've had a component box, right? A lot of wires, a lot of
wires.
Tons of wires, right? And most people haven't taken a picture of where their wires are to know if they were to just accidentally
just a rat's
pull.
Nest is
right?
All it is.
You would be screwed because you wouldn't know how to put it back.
I feel like people have a perfectly, the
component box is working fine, right? All the HDMI ports are working. Everything's on point, right? You can hit the input and it switches over to your Xbox, switches over to your PlayStation, goes back to your cable box. And now guys are like, ooh, there's a new cable out. Ooh, let's go.
Nobody's
let's change
this.
It out.
Nobody's getting
higher upload speed.
Let's change it out.
It's a little bit stronger.
Yeah. And now all of a sudden you change it out. Now, doggone, stuff starts messing up. Like, no, just leave it. It works.
It fries your TV.
Bigger question is why are you getting excited over new components?
Because I'm an electronics guy.
I am too. So I say that to say you're
but
not.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't want nobody to touch your component box. Don't touch the wires.
You've got an HDMI cable.
HDMI cable that.
Yeah, but you still got your surround sound. You got all
but
the stuff.
But if you're running component, then you're talking about,
man.
I'm excited about an optics cable or HDMI cable. But
don't touch it.
Hey,
don't touch it.
New component
but don't
cable.
Touch it.
But maybe your TV is not
built.
Oh,
this red is prettier. It has the gold conductive tip. Like, come on now. Stop that.
I still have a component box. I got surround sound and all that. Don't touch it back there. If somebody touches it, I'm screwed, bro.
Unless one of those cables, you know.
Don't touch it. They work.
Might have a shortage.
They work.
It's like somebody else.
I'm trading it for the 8K TV. Nothing on TV is 8K. Just stay with the 4K.
Yeah, that's a whole different argument because I agree.
Well, no, that's fair.
No, that's what it is.
Right. Your TV may not be calibrated to handle those cables. Yeah. It may not. The red may be too bright.
It works.
May be too bright. Let's go to our next caller.
Excited over component cables.
Our next caller is actually a big fan of Patrick Nosey Walker over here. This is Dan in Florida, a.k.a. Dan Orlovsky in Florida. What's up, Dan?
Hey, guys. How are you?
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. I think Patrick's science, I've been following him for about 3 years now. I think he's always spot on. I think his work is second to none. That being said,
love you, brother.
Let me talk about the O-line for a sec, if I could. I think you move Tyler inside, and I'll tell you why. The right side of that offensive line right now is just kicking everybody's backside badly, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I think you move Tyler inside. He reminds me so much, and everybody says the same thing, you know, of what's his name? Larry Allen.
Larry.
And now you could play bully ball up front big time. And I think you're going to need that against – some of these teams that you're going to be going into against the playoffs with. The reason I say that also is, you know, beginning of the year, I thought Biadasz was playing lights out. I thought he was playing really well. He wasn't a weakness. And I think last year he was looked at that as a weakness, if you will. In the last couple games, in the Giant game and the other night against the Colts a few times, it seemed like he got, you know, forklifted back into the backfield a couple times. And, you know, if you're going to be going against Vita Vea and Fletcher Cox and Davis and those guys from Philly, you know, I think moving Smith inside would be more helpful to Biotish than keeping McGovern there. That's just my thoughts on that.
I like it.
The other thing I wanted to say is I was watching film the other night of Tony Dorsett. Pollard reminds me a lot of Dorsett in the way he runs. Not as, you know, the body styles are different, but just in the way he runs. So I wanted to see what you thought of that.
Appreciate your call, Dan, as always. Thanks, Dan. And thanks for the kind words for our Patrick Nosey Walker.
Dan.
What do you think about what he's saying there? Talking about the bully ball up front, which if you're going up against Philadelphia, you may need some extra meat. You may need some extra strength in the middle there.
Do you think Hunter's stronger than Tyler?
No.
Yeah.
But it's not.
That's what he's saying.
I get it. But it comes down to technique too.
As well.
All right. And I think we've seen it now. Left guard technique versus left tackle technique are two completely different things. Mm-hmm. They just are.
Absolutely. Okay?
If you really want to be bully ball, freaking put Big Peters in there. If you want to be bully ball, are you going to say Tyler Smith's stronger than him?
Than this version of Jason Peters?
Yeah. Don't do it.
You almost did it.
Don't do it.
Don't make me say.
So I get his point, but like, if you really want to do bully ball, then put an extra lineman out there and put Tyler Smith, Tyler and Big Peters and McGovern. If you really want to do that, you know what I'm saying? But like, use that for the goal line. But like, don't mess with something that works. And I get everybody saying, okay, well, this guy, he's doing this at this position, he should be able to just bump down and do it. We've seen it. It hasn't worked that way.
Can I take a break real quick and then come back to it?
Yeah. Let's go ahead and get the second break here. When we come back, we're going to continue this conversation. Keep calling in, 888-855-2297. We should have time for one or two more when we come back with more Talking Cowboys.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savanna. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Black Rifle Coffee Company serves premium coffee to people who love America. When you drink Black Rifle Coffee, you are directly supporting veterans, law enforcement, and first responders in your community. Black Rifle's expert roasters love coffee almost as much as Texas loves football, so it makes sense that America's Coffee partnered with America's team. Go online at blackriflecoffee.com and fuel up with the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys. That's blackriflecoffee.com to fuel up today.
Lil' Sweet! Did you get to work on time?
Yeah, but I just realized it's Sunday.
Lil' Sweet says head on home. Dr. Pepper's on its way. So sweet, unique. Baby, there's nothing better. I bet you've probably done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper. Did you invest your nest egg in an NFT?
Yeah, and I don't even know what that is.
It's a non-fungible token.
Everyone's done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
Want to use what the pros use? How about the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys? Jack Black. Right now you can get the Jack Black Starter, a curated collection of Cowboys locker room favorites for just $10 with free shipping. The starter includes four Jack Black skincare favorites plus a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Go to getjackblack.com/cowboys and use the code word TEAMJB. That's getjackblack.com/cowboys. The Jack Black Starter, $10, free shipping.
Back to Talking Cowboys.
Experience the most electrifying event of the holiday season, Cowboys Christmas Extravaganza, powered by Reliant, every Friday and Saturday night through December 17th. Cowboys Christmas Extravaganza ignites the star in Frisco with an unforgettable holiday performance showcasing the world-renowned Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders, your favorite Dallas Cowboys football heroes, and Santa Claus, too. Visit thestardistrict.com/Christmas for more information. Back here with Isaiah Stanback, Patrick Nosey Walker, Chris Beam in the back. Gentlemen, I am officially declaring myself neutral.
No, can't do it. You can't walk the line. This is not Grey's Anatomy. This isn't Shades of Grey. This is none of that.
Shades of gray.
Yeah.
50 of them?
Yeah.
All right, but
54.
Kind of told.
He kind of 54
told,
points.
Kind of told on himself just then. But let's blow right past that. Let's blow right past that.
So it'd be gray, Kyle.
Okay, well that's what I was kind of leading on. I want one of you guys to convince me why we should either keep it the same and Connor McGovern's at left tackle or at left guard rather. Now that would be interesting. Or to move Tyler Smith inside. Right now, either one, I'm okay with trying both. I really am. I'm neutral. I'm okay with it. I don't think, like I said yesterday, it is a good problem to have. I don't think it's going to uproot your football team. However, I want to get it right. I want to get it settled in, right, done. Let's go by December 24th. That's my deadline date.
And the only way to do that is to experiment.
No!
Hold on. Hold on. Let me make my case. You just relax. You let me make my case. 50 shades. Okay?
50 shades.
49.
The way science is science for a reason, right? In science, one phase, one part of the scientific experiment is what?
The hypothesis.
The hypothesis. And then you have to test the hypothesis. So we have a hypothesis. Let's test the hypothesis. Why? Because what ifs are unacceptable. What ifs are unacceptable? We know that Connor McGovern is doing well, et cetera, et cetera. But what if the Cowboys get to the playoffs? And let's say they don't test drive Tyler Smith at left guard. Mm-hmm. They get to the playoffs, and Connor McGovern is, let's say, the reason. One of the reasons. I don't think he'd be the sole reason. But one of the reasons the Cowboys hypothetically lose whatever game that they're in. The question then becomes, because you didn't experiment, well, what about Tyler Smith? Tyler Smith might have. Let's just kill all that noise right now. You have two games against two downtrodden AFC South opponents where you can go ahead and find out if Tyler Smith has what it takes, not just in training camp, but in actual NFL games, to be a starting left guard for you going into the most critical part of your season in 2 weeks from now going forward. Mm-hmm. Or you could just say, Is that what you got? No. I need everything laid out in front of me.
Is that what you're saying? Are you saying,
Yeah, that's what he's saying. He's saying this is what's working.
No. Top four in a league in two categories that are most important to you is not
No. The is I don't need to try this.
At this point of the year, no. At this point of the year, why are we experimenting?
If you are in the top of the league
in those two categories, why are we freaking DTPing it?
Here's why.
Why are we disturbing the peace?
I would be more inclined to agree if these next two slate of games were not against the downtrodden opponents. If you had Philadelphia coming up this week,
absolutely not. I get your point.
However,
risk versus reward. Because right now, you know if you don't disturb it, you're still top four, top three in the league in those categories, right?
But what you don't know is could you be top one?
But you are dominant at that point. If you're top three in the league, you're dominant, right?
Could you be one?
Okay. You don't know.
Exactly.
But listen. But what you do know is you can disturb the freaking, what's the word I'm looking for?
The peace?
No, not the peace.
Chemistry.
The chemistry. You could disturb the chemistry. And if you disturb it, and then you think that just because you're going to put the guys back, that it's just going to pick right back up where it was, you're now rolling the dice.
Of course you're rolling the dice.
So you're saying it's worth the risk.
Could burn the curtain.
You're saying it's worth the risk.
Right? Or I'm saying, you could have an Einstein breakthrough.
No. But it's not worth the risk of potentially messing up a really good thing right now. It's not worth it because you're willing to risk it based upon the intention that, if it doesn't work, I can just put the guys back. And if you're going to pick up where we left off.
So you're telling me.
And if you don't pick up where you left off, hold on. If you don't pick up where you left off, now you're going into the playoffs trying to get your chemistry back.
So you're telling me.
Am I tripping?
You're telling me that I can't have the Texans and the Jaguars to experiment this because you think that it would so fracture
possibly
what's been established chemistry-wise over the previous majority of the season that two games of an experiment. My thought is this. You could try this two-game experiment, see how it goes. If it doesn't go, I 100% guarantee you could then revert back to what was working the majority of the season against the Eagles coming in here on Christmas Eve.
You know what I call that?
And it wouldn't be nearly what you're saying it would be, which would, then there's the season.
I start with a U. It starts with a U. It's called a utopia. It's called a utopia.
Utopia.
That's the word that you hope. That's what you're hoping it goes back to.
Right.
You're hoping it goes back to Rainbow Land. You ever seen the campaign?
Listen.
That's, you guys are living in Rainbow Land right now.
I'm not on the
Rainbow Land. Eight-page manifesto.
I'm in Grayland over here. We've already established this.
Isaiah is saying if you have a five-car garage.
Listen, man,
you have a five-car garage.
Hey,
Isaiah is saying if you take this car out, if you put this car as
so
one of the—
So many metaphors in this show.
If you pull this car out of the shop and you say, you know what, let's put this one here and let's put this one here and let's try making these the five dailies for a couple weeks. And let's say your MPG isn't what it—
Okay, we've got to get these phone calls. We've got two guys on the line. Let's knock them out.
Just go back to the other cars. The season's not over.
Your
garage didn't burn down.
What do you want to ask?
Beamer, are you listening? If you
et cetera,
your computer, right? You like your computer guy. If your computer is working really well gaming, and there's a new piece that you just want to see, is it gonna improve?
He's gonna try.
Are you gonna try
it,
Beamer, and mess up your perfectly working system?
He's gonna try it.
Knowing that you might bend a screw, miss a screw, lose a screw.
That's what gamers do. I promise
you. That's fair. That is actually
not what Beamer does.
You want to see? Bro, I've tried a lot of different things, bro.
I think it would absolutely
doesn't work. I'm like,
and what do you do, Beamer?
Go back to what was working.
Exactly. Bada bing, bada boom.
Wrist, man.
Science.
Okay, Ernesto from Virginia.
You set yourself curled up for that one.
In a ball. Ernesto, let's get to Ernesto on the phone call. Ernesto from Virginia, you've got probably 30 seconds. What's going on? What's on your mind? You're on Talking Cowboys.
Good morning, guys. Real quick, more importantly, it's got to be Booms Day. That's the hand.
I love it. Absolutely. Okay. Ernesto, thanks for calling. I'm sorry we didn't get to you so late. Appreciate you as always. Now let's go to Maurice in Washington. Maurice calls in all the time. He's fantastic. Maurice, you've got 30 seconds. You're on Talking Cowboys. What's going on?
So I'm going to make it real quick since I only got 30. You guys are talking about bully ball, and I was suggesting that I would go with my five linemen would be in terms of baby clothes, would be my 1Z and my 4Ts and McGregor or McGovern over there at fullback pounding that rock. But lastly, OBJ, it ain't about year one. It's about league minimum for year one. But what does Jerry value him at a second or even a third-year contract per year, especially since we got wide receivers' contracts expiring at the end of this month? Thanks for taking my call, fellas.
Appreciate you, Maurice.
Exactly my point.
Two great
points. It's about 2023.
Yep. At this point in the season, it's got to be, right? Who values him enough to bring him back next year? And he said it there. He said the four T's. So he's moving. He's on the Patrick Walker side of things and moving Tyler Smith inside and rolling with Tyron, and Terrence.
Yeah.
Yep, that's it.
Three ties, a Zach and a Terrence.
How about that? Z and the four T's.
I like it.
RZ. Zeus doesn't like that very much.
I don't like it.
From Chris Beam, Isaiah Standback, Patrick Nosey, Walker, I'm Kyle Yeomans. Hope you had some fun with us today. We'll be back tomorrow previewing the Cowboys defense up against the Texans offense. We'll talk about it more from the SWBC studios. So long from Talking Cowboys, presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!